Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. My name is Gonzalo Duran, and this is Vet Talk Radio. Thank you for joining us today. I appreciate it very much, everybody that's on. I want to say a special thank you to the Patriot Nation Radio Network for giving us this opportunity. I don't know if you guys know, but as an organization, I run Devil Dog USA Incorporated. Last month, we had a session in our car that they took a lot of equipment from us. And unfortunately, we weren't able to continue our Vet Talk public access show. And the Patriot Nation Radio Network, specifically Mark Hoffman, came to the rescue and gave this opportunity, and I graciously took it. So I'm proud to announce that I'm the newest member of the Patriot Nation Radio Network, and I hope you guys will tune in every Wednesday at 7 p.m. to listen to experience from veterans from across the nation, and as well as organizations dedicated to helping veterans. This is what Vet Talk is all about, and I can't wait to tell you about today's guest, Charles Black, CEO of Veterans at Sea. He's going to give us a little information about himself, the program that he works on, and some other current events for the veteran community. So before we start with Charles, we're going to break into the top of the hour break, and we'll be right back in about 3 minutes.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Dave Bray, America's favorite patriotic rocker, and you are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Network.
Let me get a unit to FDR on 112. Shots fired.
At DaveBrayUSA.com. Definitely want to check the video out. I worked with an organization called Lesman. It's a media watchdog for police officers when officers and law enforcement are being misrepresented in social media and all these different causes that are out there, you know, sort of pushing the blame. You know, they go out and they break laws for no reason just to prove that the cops, A, have to be police. They don't choose the laws they uphold. They uphold the laws because that's their job. Whether they're passive laws or aggressive laws, they go out and break them for the reason of to get a police response, which is just wasting taxpayer dollars, and I wish people would see that. These cops are putting themselves in harm's way on a daily basis. When your dad's a police officer and he goes to work, he straps on a gun and a badge. But these people are going into harm's way, you know. And it's an honorable job. It's one of the hardest jobs, and it takes a special person. And I think in this day and age, you know, we should be rallying behind them. But this song, Last Call, is about a fallen officer sort of giving his last sort of will and testament over the radio after he's been in a gunfight and he's hit and he's pinned down and he's not going to make it. And he just sort of gives his words.
I'm bleeding out. There's no time, no time.
Stand by for a special announcement. Emergency traffic only.
11:45. Prince William calling. 11:45. This is the final call for 11:45. Officer Ashley Gwinden. End of watch, February 27th, 2016. May you rest in peace.
Visit TrueTexasPatriotGear.com. Buy this gear to support efforts by like-minded patriots in Texas who met at the first Stand By Me for Liberty rally. The group is lending their time and efforts to help political prisoners to let them know they are not being forgotten. Visit TrueTexasPatriotGear.com and buy some gear and show your patriotic support for those who are standing for liberty.
Was free.
So, brother, I ask you,
are you going to stand by me?
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
Welcome back, everyone. My name is Gonzalo Duran, and this is Vet Talk Radio. Today's guest is Charles Black, CEO of Veterans at Sea. This is a veteran on a mission to help his community, and I will let him announce himself. Charles, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Well, thank you for joining us. I appreciate you being our first guest. I had the opportunity to get some information over you, and it's astonishing to, and I hope the viewers are listening and will be able to grasp everything that you're doing. To begin, can you give us a little information about yourself, Charles?
Okay. Well, right now I currently live out in Arizona. I served in the Army National Guard from 1998 to 2007. I was 11 Charlie Infantry. I deployed to Bosnia in 2002, and I also deployed to Afghanistan from 2004 to 2005, where I was put in the training school for the Afghan National Army for field artillery.
Doesn't get any better than that, Charles. Thank you for your service, and we appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Now, besides your military career, you are the CEO of Veterans at Sea. Would you tell the audience a little bit about it?
Well, when I first got out of the military, not when I got out of the military, but when I got back from Afghanistan, I took three of my guys with me on a 7-night cruise just to decompress. I didn't realize at the time how much it had helped us, and over time, I kept going on my cruises, taking my trips, but like a lot of veterans, I was dealing with the issues of PTSD, depression. I had a real problem with separation anxiety when I got out and I no longer had the camaraderie of my fellow soldiers. So a few years back, I was on board a cruise ship, and they had a veteran meet and greet. I was like, great, an opportunity. Guys that served, I'm going to go meet up with them. And there was me, a Gulf War veteran, and two Vietnam veterans. The cruise line had put a room to the side. There was no event scheduled. It was basically a joke. We sat around, talked for a little bit, and everybody went their separate ways. I had started to spark the idea with me of why couldn't we do something for veterans on board cruise ships. I went on another cruise, and they had another veteran event. This time it was high tea. Now, I'm not the type of person that's going to go get dressed up for lunch and go sit down and have tea and cakes or donuts or something. It's not my thing. So I started to dig into this a little deeper and have created what's called Journey Therapy. I found that peer-to-peer, a lot of the holistic breathing meditations, the aromatherapies, the heart math, they all seem to take grasp a lot better when you can remove a veteran from a stressful situation and place them somewhere they can relax. And I have not found any place better than being able to relax on board a cruise ship. So we've done very limited. A lot of it was test programs that I personally funded to take veterans and test these programs. And we've had over a 90% success rate with all of this.
And those are incredible numbers. You're pushing not only the envelope for what's going on for yourself, but for the community around you.
Oh, absolutely. If it's working for me, I want to share it. And we were always a team in the military, no matter what branch you were in, and it should still be a team effort at this
point. Now, when you first started this, you mentioned you had taken a few of your troops to participate. Now, were you their platoon sergeant? Were you in charge of them? This came out of nowhere?
The guys I took, we all kind of paid our own way on that event, but I opened it up and invited them to join me. It was about 2 months after we returned from Afghanistan, and I was the FDC chief of the for battalion mortars, and these were guys that were on the gun lines that went with me. So they weren't directly under my command, but they were in my platoon.
But it started the seed to what Veterans SE is now.
That's, believe it or not, it started over, that's going to be about 11 years ago. About 10 years ago, well, no, 05, so 12 years ago is when it started, but I only launched it in 2014. I didn't realize I had started this that far back, but I did.
And you've come a long way, not only with the work that you're doing on your with the Veterans SE, but I was looking through your biography and you branched out to many things. Like, you're a master scuba diver, film. You have under your belt the documentaries and some of the movie films that you've done as well.
You know, helping the veteran community is important to me, but I got to have my own fun on the side too. I am a master scuba diver trainer. So I'm a scuba instructor and I've been dabbling with videos. One of my kids kind of got me started on that, but I'm actually in the middle of filming a short film right now and a documentary on Tourette syndrome.
Now, I think you're being a little bit modest. When I saw one of the videos that you had posted on your Facebook, I was like, I thought I was in the theater watching a movie, you know, right there on the spot. So it's a great work that you're doing, and I'm hoping that this documentary that you're doing will be able to push it out within our network so that the veteran community can get a hold of it.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. My main goal behind it was with the Tourette syndrome. We have one child that has Tourette syndrome, and Hollywood has always perceived it as probably the best example was the movie Deuce Bigelow, where he dated the girl that had Tourette's, and she would just yell, scream, and cuss, but it's so much more than just that. Kind of like the whole stigma with PTSD and don't hire them because they might get violent, but anybody, even a civilian, you can be in a car accident or some sort of traumatic event and end up with PTSD. It's not a veteran thing.
That's a good point.
Just kind of
a lot
trying
of people...
to change the... Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. It's a lot of people don't see and understand that stereotype. You know, they think it's only a one-way street, but you know, police officers, firefighters, and, you know, other occupations that have hazards like that can suffer from it without it being so generalized in the public. But hopefully...
Absolutely. In fact, law enforcement's the one that I use as an example all the time. When the military, if you're involved in a firefight, it's done. You go back to your base. You get up the next day. You do your job again. In law enforcement, if they discharge their weapon, they're immediately put on paid leave and sent to a psychiatrist for evaluation. So it has a longer lasting impact on us than it does law enforcement because we don't get treated for it. And then when we get out, we still don't get proper treatment. I mean, we see it all the time in the media, the failed systems, the failed government programs that are continuously failing the veteran community.
And fortunately, there are Americans like you. And that's why it's important. And we're grateful to have, you know, patriotic Americans like you helping out the system in case you're ready.
Right. I mean, it's up to us to pick up our own pieces and take care of ourselves, and the programs that are put in place are failing.
So now, to jump into one of the programs that you are working on at the moment, the Warfighter Experience, can you explain to the audience what exactly that is?
Oh, the Warfighter Experience. That's my crazy idea. But, you know, I believe strongly in go big or go home. So I wanted to go all out. So what that is I am currently working on chartering an entire cruise ship. Now, when I say charter, I mean Veterans at Sea will have control of the ship, the itinerary, where it's going, and what happens on the ship. Now, normal crews, you get on, they have their own entertainment, they go to their different ports, they sell you different excursions to go on. With the Warfighter Experience, I'm going to load this ship with nothing but veterans and their spouses for a 7-night cruise. We're going to go to a couple different ports, but during the days at sea, we're going to have events and programs that are tailored just for the veterans and their spouses, their caregivers. And when I say programs, I mean veteran resource officers that are going to help you with getting your claims done, reaching out for programs that you didn't know you would be able to do. We'll also be looking at bringing on veteran-based businesses that they can pay in and sponsor the program. They can set up a table. They can display their products to the veteran community. Plus, I want to bring veteran entertainment on board with us during the cruise. This will be all veteran-based. We're going to take over the high seas. This isn't the Navy, but we're going to have fun. And it's going to be a healing experience.
I love that.
And I say so now, it's crazy because I've got to raise over $6 million to do this.
Wow, $6 million. That is not a small amount of money.
It's not a small amount of money, but, you know, I don't say nothing bad about any organization out there that's trying to do something, but there are some organizations that waste more, that spend more than $6 million in marketing.
You mean like giving hats and shirts?
Hats, shirts, or ridiculous payroll. We don't have a payroll. We're all volunteer. I believe that's the way nonprofits should be. That's just my personal belief. I believe that you get to a point, you cross a line, and you become a for-profit company, even though you're under the IRS's guidelines of nonprofit. So, yes. $6 million sounds crazy, but, you know, there's organizations out there that are raising hundreds of millions. And when you start looking at the number of people that I'll be bringing on board, the ship will actually hold close to 1,300 bodies. So you're looking at 2,300 bodies. So you're looking at over 1,000 warfighters at once, 1,000 veterans on a ship. You start breaking the numbers down of what it's going to cost to charter this and do this. This costs less than most of the weekend retreats for PTSD that only a veteran goes to. If you check into one of them, some of them will charge you thousands of dollars.
I don't see it as a challenge. I mean, I like the way that you're approaching it and pushing it out there. You know, you're right. There are a lot of organizations wasting money that it shouldn't be going to. And you have this cause where not only the veterans will benefit, but you have organizations and other entities that can bring in. Because this is something done on a regular basis. From my understanding, like musicians or corporations like normally take cruises and then sell the tickets off. So it's not a
uncommon thing. Yeah, so that's the one thing. I'm not selling the tickets off. We're just going to randomly let people start registering, and then we're just going to, my board of directors is going to just randomly start selecting who can feasibly get to the cruise port, and they're going at no charge. We're not charging anybody. That's the big thing, is we're not going to charge any veteran to go on this. Now, go the community, ask some veterans, when was the last time you had a break, you took a vacation? Most of it didn't. Most of them don't. They struggle day to day. Ask a caregiver or a spouse when they got a little bit of respite, and they'll probably tell you they've never. This is an opportunity for them to do that. Plus, while they're doing this, it's just loaded with additional programs that they can get involved with. Different, the breathing meditation. Everything we do is holistic. I'll never tell anybody not to take your meds. Don't go, not to go to the doctor. Go to the doctor. Take your meds. But there are alternatives out there, and they're healthier.
And you're using the sea as one of your forefront oppositions for that.
Absolutely. Most of the programs that we have done and that we have looked at are programs that had high success rates within the VA, yet the VA decided not to do the program.
Well, anything
now,
that...
my personal opinion, it's because there's no pharmaceutical kickback by doing these programs.
Ding, 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 ding.
Absolutely. There's some congressman somewhere that's collecting money from a pharmaceutical company, so they're not going to want these programs within the Veterans Administration, because then they're not going to get money.
Well, plus, if you're doing it as an outside organization and you're looking at competition for them not getting some big funding grant or increase in their pocket as well. So it's something
absolutely.
You know, organizations, nonprofits have to struggle with. And I'm hoping that the listeners will grasp the fact that you're someone who's already not only opening up and saying, look, I've had PTSD. I'm conquering it. I'm using a method that's holistic and that is an proven resource for other veterans as well. This is an opportunity. This is something that should be, you know, grabbed by the community, because it is for the community. So,
yeah. Now, the only
audience,
thing that I would say is you're never going to conquer PTSD. You're never going to get rid of it. You learn how to live with it, and you don't let it control you. I'm off all my meds now at this point in my life. I've been off. You can almost say that I've been clean and sober for coming up on 3 years now, that I have been off all of them. But it's still a daily challenge. So it never goes away, but you do learn to live with it.
For the audience, would you give, and for listeners, potential sponsors, could you give them the information on how to reach you and how they can help you with this warfighter experience?
Okay, through our website, Twitter, Facebook is all Veterans at Sea, and it's just like it's spelled just like it sounds. Veterans, VETERANS, AT, and then just like the ocean, SEA. Now, I also have a website for the Warfighter Experience, which is thewarfighterexperience.com. And you can also find it on Facebook at Warfighter Experience.
Now, this trip that's coming.
Go ahead.
The trip that's coming up, when is it set for?
I don't have a locked date right now. I have talked with several of the cruise lines about the process for chartering, and we are really hoping right now for the fall of 2018. That is our goal, but that's going to be really dependent on raising enough funding to do the charter. After that date, honestly, whatever we raise, if I do a half charter, I'll take what I'll fill it up with veterans one way or another. But my ultimate goal that I will never quit is going to be the full charter.
Well, here at Vet Talk, we will be happy to push that agenda in any way that we can help you continuously until it does happen.
I really appreciate that.
Now, besides the list of things that you're doing, the documentaries, the films, the Veterans at Sea, is there any other topics that you'd like to discuss today?
Probably the other big one that I'm always into is our deported brothers and sisters. Now, when I say deported brothers and sisters, so coming up on March 18th, I am going to be at the first official stand down at the Deported Veteran Support House in Tijuana, Mexico. Now, these aren't, I know with the new president and all the discussion about immigration, you got to understand, these men and women are not border jumpers. They didn't sneak over into the U.S. in the middle of the night. They're legal permanent residents, came here as children, joined the military, served honorably. Then they get out. And then what happens when a lot of the guys get out? They self-medicate, they get into trouble because, again, a failed government program that's supposed to be in place to take care of them is not taking care of them. They self-medicate, they end up with felony drug charges, and then they do their time for the felony drug charge, and because they're permanent residents and not citizens, they're deported.
And that's an unfortunate thing when you have served your country, you have served the country, but not allowed to stay and represent and live as a citizen after you have sacrificed more than people that are just getting the doorway entry just to come in and take advantage of a system that they have done nothing for.
Oh, yeah, I know
it's
one
crazy,
that was actually in thing. Afghanistan the same time I was, who was deported. If you watch the headlines right now, there is a case going on in Chicago of a veteran, two tours in Afghanistan, and he is now facing deportation because of drug charges. Again, self-medication. And that's what it keeps coming back to.
And that's something that, you know, your goal is always to go to fight. Everyone, I want to thank everyone for listening. We're about to cut off. Is there any last words you want to mention, Charles?
No. Just, again, the Facebook, Twitter, and our website, veteransatsea.org, and thewarfighterexperience.com.
Okay, Charles, thank you so much. Once again, Charles Black, the CEO of Veterans at Sea.
Thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure, Charles. That's a patriot for this country, which even though he has already served this country, is continuing through his service to the community and the nation. This is one of many episodes that are going to happen through the Patriot Nation Radio Network, presenting the Vet Talk Radio. I'm your host, Gonzalo Duran, and you can check us out next week at the same time, 7 p.m. on Wednesdays, Eastern Standard Time. Our goal here is to give veterans a voice and the ability to share their experiences, as well as bring organizations from across the country so that you can know what they're doing, how you can receive help, and we'll finish off with a short ballad from Jordan B. Page. Thank you, and I'll talk to you guys next week.
What's up, everybody? This is Jordan Page. In light of the recent events in Oregon, I just wrote a song that I want to share with you. This is called The Ballad of Lavoy Finicum. Subtext, Cowboys Stand for Freedom. Mm-hmm.
make a stand. His conviction called, he followed what he felt was right. Well, there's no telling just what time will bring. You can live for nothing or for everything. But when the push has come to shove and tell me, will you find? Cowboys stand for freedom. I'm just talking about a name carved in a stone. A friend and brother to anyone is riding off into the setting sun to ride on cowboys. All you can do is try to be